You are listening to a sermon by Evan Kreider, recorded on Sunday, November 22, 2009, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
There's something about human beings that encourages us to think about people not just by their name, but also by adjectives or metaphors or other words. And these additional words help us understand the person we're referring to or talking about. Maybe they help us place that person in our thinking or in our lives. I don't have many examples of it, but we might not have just musicians, but we also have rock stars or virtuosi. And a few politicians have garnered some interesting appellations over the years. Some 19th century song texts have done the same thing for Jesus. Some of these song texts have sentimentalized Jesus by noting what a friend we have in Jesus, or really humanizing Jesus by saying, and he, like a lover, walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. Other song texts, like we have had this morning, refer to Jesus with more biblical metaphors, such as gentle shepherd, bread of the world in mercy broken, the rifted rock, or rock of ages, the tree of life. O Lamb of God, Christ is our cornerstone, and my favorite, which we just sang, come my way, my truth, my life. For those of you who go shopping, you probably are already starting to hear some four dozen songs about the birth of baby Jesus, about sanitized sheep, singing angels, and wealthy men who decide to see the world, guided by a bizarre notion of how to find their destination. This is another kind of imagery about Christ that will be emphasized whether we want it or not. Although we may not give it much thought, each of us likely has images, adjectives, or metaphors that we tend to favor when thinking about Jesus. And this was something Jesus himself finally decided to face head on, because it's recorded that he asked his followers, okay, you have heard many people calling me many things and many names, but who do you say that I am? And that essentially is our question today on this final Sunday of the church year. Who do you say Jesus is? The theme of today's lectionary readings focuses on the image of Christ the King. This is interesting because next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent, when the baby music starts in earnest, along with Advent songs. I find that Christmas songs from the 19th century spring from the hearth at home or from warm, fuzzy, romantic feelings, whereas the Advent songs tend to be more from the monastic, intellectual text sources, and so I tend to prefer them when I think of who Jesus is. But today's lectionary reading asks us to focus on the image of Christ the King. I cannot remember ever addressing Jesus as King, except when I'm singing. I have heard prayers beginning with, Dear Jesus, but never, Dear King Jesus, or, O King Jesus. Christ the King does not seem to be high on my personal list of metaphors or adjectives. I seem to prefer more gentle imagery. I know that I am profoundly uneasy with kings. I hope I never have to meet one. I personally like to keep all politicians at arm's length, out of my life, out of my face. But Christ the King was a very popular theme in the Middle Ages and Renaissance. They had kings. Kings were not just images to them. They understood kings. So even though Christ the King may not be high on our list of appellations, we all do know that Jesus died. And if we thought about it, we would eventually realize the official reason he died is because his opponents told Pilate that Jesus claimed to be a king. And that means the king, because there's no such thing as two kings ruling over the same people. It doesn't work. You may have noticed Renaissance or Baroque paintings of the crucifixion. On the cross, directly above Jesus' head, there was a little sign which would traditionally read I-N-R-I. This is an abbreviation of the Latin words, and in Latin, there's no J. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews, St. John 19:19. According to the various gospel accounts of the trials of Jesus, this was the only charge against Jesus that Pilate would accept. Of course, in our gospel reading today, Pilate clearly doubted that Jesus could be serious about being a real king, let alone pose so much as a vague threat to Pilate's authority or power. So I'm now going to reread our passage from John 18:33, a passage chosen for this Sunday on Christ the King. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation, chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And you all know the next verse, which is not in the reading. And Pilate said, "And what is truth?" This conversation, composed at least 50 years after the event, long after the living witnesses had passed on, this passage summarizes Pilate's cognitio, that is, the official Roman inquiry, during which he, as prefect, was to determine what actually happened concerning the accused. The prefect's decision would be final, unless challenged by Rome itself. The Jews were charging Jesus with treason against the emperor. In the midst of what the Christian community portrayed as a series of kangaroo trials, Jesus does not offer a political answer to Pilate's very direct question, "Are you or are you not the King of the Jews? Instead, Jesus' answer is remarkably philosophical. At best, Jesus answers Pilate indirectly by not denying the accusation. This philosophical turn of the conversation would have let Pilate, who was well-educated, see that Jesus was very much in the tradition of the Greek Stoics, those well-meaning men who so often thought they knew best how society ought to be run, even though they obviously had neither the power nor skills to run it themselves. In a sense, Pilate surely recognized that Jesus was hopelessly out of his depth in the political world, and therefore did not pose any threat whatsoever to the Roman emperor, Pilate, or the soldiers. Interestingly, throughout the ages, Christians, like Pilate, have not known what to do with this whole concept of a kingship that does not involve an actual king, or a kingdom which lacks territory, coinage, and soldiers. We don't even have any idea why this very problematic word, kingdom, was ever used for a decidedly non-political concept. My guess is it was used in order to denote tremendous power and an all-encompassing authority. Christians, of course, pay lip service to the concept of this different sort of kingdom, as we heard in our skit this morning, frequently praying, "Thy kingdom come." But even this prayer's phrase conjures up mainly vague notions in our minds, and we pass over it very quickly. I'm eager to get on to the daily bread. And when we read these passages today from John and others, passages about Christ the King, we do so at a time when some in Britain are arguing that England should do away with the monarchy. What do we think of when we think of kings? Of poor Charles, old enough to retire, yet still waiting for his mother to die so he can finally become king? Or do we think of King Louis XIV, or the powerful figures like Saddam Hussein, men strong enough, powerful enough, to force others to die for their political agendas? Perhaps my real problem with Christ the King is that I do not like anyone, let alone government, giving me orders, telling me what I can and cannot do. I do not like obeying orders from any king or premier, let alone city inspector, boss, or colleague. We certainly do not automatically welcome the notion of being forced to serve someone unquestioningly, whether we like it or not. But that is what real kings have ultimately required, whether of this world or not. Do we perhaps prefer thinking of Jesus in ways that are less threatening? Thinking of him mainly as a teacher or public speaker rather than a king? Instead of Jesus on a throne, I like to see Jesus surrounded by little children. Is the kingship of Jesus acceptable as long as it does not make absolute claims on our lives? Perhaps this is why we find it comforting when Jesus hurriedly clarifies to Pilate that his so-called kingdom is not of this world, because this leaves open the possibility that Christ the King will never actually be a real king, a powerful king, a king with absolute authority. Our King Jesus thankfully gives us freedom to act as we will. We can follow his orders or not, as we choose. Jesus, our so-called king, lets us join the banquet table when it pleases us, and lets us dine out when it does not. But this lackadaisical view of Christ the King means that we have to ignore other passages in Scripture, one of which was in our morning's lectionary reading from Revelation, verse 7. Look, he is coming with clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And on his account, all of the tribes of earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. This is unbridled power. This is someone more powerful and demanding than any king or kingdom of this world. Christ the King ultimately demands absolute obedience of his subjects, not just adoration before a manger. There's no gray area. Therefore, this morning, Christ the King, the Alpha and the Omega, asks us point blank, okay, who do you say that I am? Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed is Jesus, our good shepherd, our rock, our King of kings, our Lord of lords, our Alpha and Omega. Blessed is Christ the King, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.